Ancient Warfare, Heinrich Schliemann, Part 3, Land and Treasure Issues. Well, 3 days after Schliemann began digging on the western side of the hill at Hissarlik, the two Turkish owners indeed arrived as feared. They ask him, "What in the world are you doing on our property?" And Schliemann explained, through an interpreter, that he was doing scientific work and that the results would be profitable to Turkey. Well, the two men were more interested in the heavy stone blocks that had been unearthed, because they were planning to build a stone bridge over one of the nearby rivers, and these stones would be perfect. So Schliemann made them an offer. He gave them the stones, and he gave them 40 francs. They agreed to allow the digging to continue. But of course, this is just a temporary truce. After enough stones had been moved for the bridge, they demanded that the work stop and asked for 100 pounds for damages that he had caused to the hill. Schliemann wrote, different people. Of course, Schliemann refused to pay the two guys, but understood that he's now going to have to buy the land. So Schliemann wrote letters to important people in France, Germany, Athens, and Istanbul. In a letter to Sefet Pasha, the Turkish minister of culture, he tried to explain that he was not a treasure hunter. His only desire was to prove that the city of Troy was beneath the hill at Hissarlik. He desired permission only for that. Meanwhile, Frank Calbert had managed to obtain from the Turkish landowners a verbal promise that they would sell the land for 1,000 francs. The problem was, Safet Pasha ended up buying the land for 600 francs on behalf of the Ministry of Culture. That was not the solution that Schliemann wanted, and he was extremely angry about it. He wrote to Calvert telling him to find a way to buy the land. His first offer, he would give all the gold and silver he discovered to the ministry, and that he would give Safet Pasha double the value of the precious metals that he might find, one assumes, as a tip. But he insisted he would not dig unless given title to the land. Well, nothing seemed to work. Then Schliemann made a new offer. He would make no claim on the land. He only wanted permission to find Troy. He didn't want any money, but he would divide up any precious objects. Anything that he found, half of it would go to the Turkish Museum, half of it would go to his own collection to cover his expenses. He also asked permission to have his share to be able to be moved out of Turkey. He said he really didn't believe he would find any treasure. That's just being facetious here. The last letter, written with the help of the American ambassador, solved all the problems. Again, at least for now. On August the 12th, 1871, while Schliemann was in London, the firman, which is an official sultan's permission, finally arrived. He quickly headed back to Turkey. Now, for the first time, he dug like a madman at Hissarlik with the full protection of the Turkish government. Schliemann was in a hurry. He wanted to find that palace of Priam. He now had 120 workmen, but what they found belonged to later periods. It really frustrated him. As a matter of fact, one of the things that he did is that he had artists sketch a lot of the objects they were finding, had them published in books, and sent them to major archaeological universities all over the world. Sent them there for free, simply asking, "What am I finding?" You know, him and Evans on Crete are finding material nobody had seen before. At any rate, nothing has come of that, but he's trying. The one day he found a relief of Apollo riding the four horses of the sun. Although it was relatively small, it was a brilliant piece of work. Schliemann smuggled it out of Turkey with Calvert's help, and for years it graced the gardens of Schliemann's house in Athens. Then in May of 1873, he had his moment. He was standing by a trench with his wife Sophie near what is now Troy II's main entry ramp. He saw something glinting in the sun and went over and saw some metal objects. He was sure he found the Trojan treasure. Well, Schliemann turned to Sophie. "You must go at once and shout Paidos." That's a Greek word as well as a Turkish word meaning rest period. Sophie had not yet seen the treasure and was amazed at the thought of ordering a rest period so early. She goes, "What, now? It's 7 o'clock. That's a.m. "Yes, now. Tell them it's my birthday, and I've only just remembered it. Tell them they will get their wages today without working. And see that they go to their villages and see that the overseer doesn't come here." Well, the workers were very happy. The Turkish representative, Amin Efendi, was a little puzzled because he had the chart of all of the various important holidays, and that didn't seem to be on it. But he also obeyed the paydos because working without getting paid without working is, of course, every workman's dream. After everyone had gone, Schliemann and Sophia dug out the treasure and put it under one of Sophia's big shawls. Well, what did they find? Now, they found a copper shield. They found the copper cauldron, a silver vase, a copper vase, a gold bottle, two gold cups, a small electrum cup, a silver goblet, three great silver vases, seven double-edged copper daggers, six silver knife blades, 13 copper lance heads, two gold diadems, and 56 gold earrings, and then 8,750 gold rings and buttons and hair curls. The two diadems had 90 chains, so many of that when you put it over your head, it covered the forehead. And this is the famous picture that you see frequently of Sophie wearing this. She actually, Schliemann dressed her up in the what they could and went to parties, or at least the parties at his house in Athens. And there's one sepia tone version of that, so you can get an idea of the gold and what it looked like. And for a long time, that's all we had to go by, because the original pictures are taken in black and white. And the treasure then was lost. And all that they had of it was some replicas that had been made for a display and the photographs of Schliemann's wife wearing the treasure until finally it's discovered. That's something I'll talk about at another time. Nothing, of course, like this had ever been found. But now comes the question, how to get it out of Turkey? And we still have this question of who owns it. Although, after the next show, you'll find that actually Schliemann does indeed own it, at least as a result of a court case that takes place in Greece. Now, who owns it now as a result of World War II and the Russians stealing it after the war is still up in the air. So next, it's the treasure journey and the battle for its ownership. Now, the sources for this, the ones I've been using for this whole section, Troy 1700 to 1250 BC by Fields, A Guide to Troia and Wolusa by Korfman, In Search of the Trojan War by Wood, Helen of Troy by Hughes, and The War at Troy by Quintus of Smyrna. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us with a donation or become a monthly supporter of a dollar or what have you. There are some rewards for doing that, and thank you very much.